We're talking about biblical prophecy, and we're talking about Russia. I mean, as we wind this topic down, we're actually studying what the Bible says about Russia, what's going to happen to Russia, and how Russia is going to be used in regard to Israel. So that's why we kind of drew this map. Does everybody have one of these maps? I want to just kind of go through what's going to happen in Russia. Probably the biggest discussion that has come out of the United States is that we're going to get in some nuclear war and blow each other up to bits. I mean, that was the talk, especially a lot of years ago. It's not so much now. But if you'd have known the scriptures back then, you'd have said that isn't how it's going to happen. That isn't what's going to happen at all, because Russia is going to obviously play a key role in eschatological events, which will occur after the rapture of the church. And so before we get into our study today, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word and for your people, and we pray your blessing on our doctrine time today. In Jesus' name, amen. We come to the fourth point in Ezekiel 38. If your Bibles are open to Ezekiel 38, all right, you're going to kind of need these maps, because I'm going to keep taking you to these maps so we can look up stuff. I want you to notice what we read in Ezekiel 38 and verse 13. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish with all of its villages will say to you, have you come to capture spoil? Have you assembled your company to seize plunder, to carry away silver and gold, to take away cattle and goods, to capture great spoil? Now, last time we were together, we went through the first part of the chapter. And as we went through that first part of the chapter, we saw that God is going to, probably at about 3.5 years into the tribulation, start Russia moving from the north to come down against Israel. And she is going to be moving to the mountains north of Israel, and as you'll see, that's where God's going to drop her. I mean, to the point that there will literally have to be bodies buried for weeks on end. I mean, that is the language that you're going to see. Now, in verse 13, we see that Russia is going to have communication and support of other nations. And you'll notice in verse 13, two nations are given there, Sheba and Dedan. Now, if you take your little trusty maps that I've made for you, you'll notice there that between the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf, you have what's known as Dedan. And then down south of Dedan, you have the Sheba area. And both of those areas are Arab-controlled. So we would suggest that these have generally been identified by students of prophecy as Arabs, and this verse would suggest that when Russia starts moving against Israel, there's going to be some Arab countries that will take a real interest in what she's doing, and they're going to want to get in on her plans. Now, here's what's fascinating in the history in which you and I have lived. In the aftermath of 1991, after the Persian Gulf War, there were many Arab nations at that point that started uniting themselves with Russia. And they seemed to have kind of a new camaraderie that all came out of that war. And that has not stopped. And apparently, this begins a process which will ultimately lead to them linking themselves with Russia in an attempt to destroy Israel. And that's what's at stake here. The implication is, because notice what Sheba and Dedan ask him in verse 13, the merchants of Tarshish, they and all its villages will say, have you come to capture spoil? I want you to notice their interest is in the national wealth. So they're actually at a high level. You're going to have Arab leaders and Russian leaders communicating. What are you going there to take? And they're going to take, we're going after their wealth. We're going to go in there and we're going after the spoils. And the Arabs are going to say, we want in on that deal. Well, what can we do to help you? What can we do to support you? What will ultimately happen is, as Russia moves from north, many Arab nations are going to join with her. I don't think it's any coincidence that Islam is infiltrating Russia faster than it is, by any stretch of the imagination, the United States. mean, it's infiltrating the world, actually, because I think it's the Babylonian harlot. But the fact of the matter is, Islam is infiltrating Russia at a record rate. There's a growing Muslim population there. I think that is all playing into this moment that's predicted, when there'll be this Russian alliance between the Arab world and ultimately the Russian world. And one other point that's worth noting from this verse is that Sheba and Tarshish are two places that God is going to honor during the millennium. Isaiah talks about that, names them as being places that were honored. So that would seem to suggest that in that tribulation, not all Arabs are going to turn against Israel. We would submit that during the tribulation, there will be some Arabs that will rally around Israel, and that really gets into that judgment where Jesus calls the nations to face him for how they treated Israel. And this will become a real critical factor at that point. If they treated Israel properly, they'll be allowed to enter the kingdom. Now, let's look at verses 14 to 16 of Ezekiel 38. Therefore, prophesy, son of man, and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, on that day when my people Israel are living securely, will you not know it? You will come from your place out of the remote parts of the north, you and many peoples with you, all of them riding on horses, a great assembly and a mighty army, and you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in the last days, I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I'm sanctified through you before their eyes. Now, there are some reasons why we know this is referring to Russia. First of all, you'll notice that some of the countries that we've pointed out are in Russian territory. We've already done that. We're talking about far north. If you look at your little maps there and look at where Jerusalem is, and then you go up to the far north and you head up in there into the Magog and Gog area and up into that area, I mean, we're talking about Russia. Those are Russian territories. So even though they may not have had the names we know them by today, the fact of the matter is that's where they were located geographically. So we're referring to Russian. There's going to be a coalition of nations, and I think that coalition is underway. There is a connection right now between Russia, Iran, northern Ethiopia, Libya, Turkey, and the Arab world. I mean, all of those are in bed together, as it were. And they're forming a coalition that is ultimately going to be formed for this very prophetic fulfillment. Now, verse 15 makes it clear that when she comes down out of her remote parts of the north, so Russia is going to start moving from the north. She's going to start sweeping down toward the south. The text says that they're coming down there and they're riding on horses. And again, if we put that in mind of the economic distress, I think you're going back to very primitive means of travel. We just had a major ice storm here a couple weeks ago. Well, it was actually a week ago. We had a major ice storm. Think of how quickly just that ice storm can put people in a panic. I mean, you lose electricity. So with no electricity, you're having difficulty running things unless you have a generator. But let's put this in the tribulation period. God, in the first 3.5 years, has poured out his wrath from heaven, demolished the world, so electrical plants are knocked out. Where are you going to get the supplies you need to try and have food? Where are you going to get the supplies you need to try to have warmth? You're not going to be able to find it basically anywhere unless you're working with a government allowance, which ultimately the government's going to be heavily involved in that, in distributing who can buy what and when they can buy what. I mean, that comes into play in all of this. So during this time, I mean, if you lose electricity, you can't get gas from gas pumps. I mean, you're going to have real trouble there, because if God has just blown up parts of the world with all these meteors and all these things that have taken place, you're going back to very primitive ways of existence. I've often thought, like, for some of us that have spent some time in hunting in the mountains and things, we could set up a camp and run pretty effectively in a camp. I've thought that myself. I've got the equipment. I could set up some pretty good tents and we could set up some good heating systems where we could get wood, and we could do okay out there. But you think about this younger generation. I mean, think about this younger generation and say, okay, you need to set up a tent. What is that? I mean, and how would we do that? How do we set up a tent? And what's a wood-burning stove? And what's a wood-burning jack? They don't have a clue. They wouldn't have a clue. So you take this tribulation that hits, if it were to hit today, if we're raptured and the tribulation starts now, this world is catapulted into a mode in which very few would even know how to survive with the basic things that they would need. And so God, in that tribulation period, is going to break this world down. And literally, when you see they're riding on horses, I think that's literally what they're doing. The military system is gone. Road structures are gone. You don't have fuel the way that you would have normally had fuel. So how are you going to travel? You're a major power, and you want to go to war. How are you going to travel? Well, we're going right back to primitive days like Alexander the Great. I mean, you're going to get on horses, and you're going to take primitive weapons. And, okay, so let's say you have guns. Well, we know during the first 3.5 years, a lot of civil wars broke out, so you're out of bullets. Where are you going to get more bullets? Well, what are you going to do? You're going to have to use primitive weaponry in this kind of warfare. And so this is when this hits with Russia. And Russia, according to verse 15, they start coming from remote parts, riding on horses, and a great assembly and mighty army is with them. So what you have now is Russia moving, the coalition of nations moving. They're moving by foot and by horse, and they're moving with primitive weapons, and their goal is go down to Israel and take everything Israel has. The one who's behind this is God. Look at verse 16. And you will come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. It shall come about in the last days that I will bring you up against my land, so that nations may know me, and I am sanctified through you before their eyes, O Gog. It's critical because this shows us in verse 16, God is the one who's orchestrating all of this. Russia, for the most part, has been an atheistic country, a God-mocking country. It's done everything within its power to keep God away from people, the concept of God away from people. God hasn't just said, oh, I forgot about that. He's kept a record of that. He's kept a record of all her mockery. God has put within every human being the intuitive knowledge of his existence. Every human being that's born has deep inside the knowledge of God. They know there's God. They may not respond to it, right? But deep in their hearts, they know there's God. Because God has planted that within them. Russia as a nation has done everything it can to eliminate God, and God has kept the record. And so he basically says, I've reserved the time when I'm just going to single out Russia and all her allies, and I'm going to take care of them, and I'm going to bring them down against Israel. And when I bring them down against Israel, they're going to pay a severe price. And he's going to bring these nations down, and ultimately, he's going to use them in his final plan for the purposes of pouring out his wrath. Now, from an accountability standpoint for Russia, this move is evil. She's trying to destroy Israel. That's her motive. Let's go get their wealth. That's why Russia starts moving against Israel. But from God's sovereignty perspective, he says, I'm doing this to glorify me. This ultimately will make a statement for me. And this is a key moment of the tribulation because this is the moment in which God makes a worldwide statement to show that Israel is his nation. And if we've timed this right in the program of God, this occurs just prior to the Antichrist, who sets himself up in the temple and demands that he be worshipped as God. It happens just prior to this. So what God does is he basically brings Russia down against Israel because he's going to topple Russia and show the world, I am God, this is my land, this is Israel's land, and nobody is going to take it. And in verses 17 of Ezekiel 38 all the way to verse 10 of chapter 39, we get a glimpse as to what God is going to do to that nation. So let's just kind of move through some of the verses. Notice verse 18. It will come about on that day when Gog comes against the land of Israel, declares the Lord God, that my fury will mount up in my anger. That word fury is an interesting Hebrew word. It means God's He's poisonous mad. He's raging mad. In other words, he's kept the record of Russian mockery for all these years, of they're trying to say there's no God for all these years, and his anger has reached the boiling point. And now he draws them to come down against Israel. Notice verse 19 to 20. In my zeal and in my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, the beast of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. The mountains also will be thrown down. The steep pathways will collapse, and every wall will fall to the ground. Now, God is going to, at this point, send a terrible earthquake. And earthquakes are going to shake the world often in the tribulation period. People will know in the tribulation period, this is God's wrath. There'll be no question about that. The whole world will know this is the anger of God, this is the wrath of God. At this point in time, God is going to cause a terrible earthquake that will break out. And then notice verse 21, I will call for a sword against him on all my mountains, declares the Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. There's going to be pandemonium that breaks out in what's going down. Remember, Russia has made allies with Arabs and other nations that we just pointed out a few minutes ago. So Russia has made all these alliances with these nations. And now all of a sudden, when all of this starts hitting, pandemonium breaks out, and they'll attack each other. And then, verse 22, with pestilence and with blood, I will enter into judgment with him. I will rain on him and his troops, and on the many peoples who are with him, a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. I will magnify myself, sanctify myself, and make myself known in the sight of many nations, and they will know that I am the Lord. God is going to pour out torrential rain, hailstones, burning sulfur coming down from heaven, and everyone knows at this point, this is God doing this. This is God doing this. And that is why I believe the Islamic religion is right now spreading rapidly in Russia. It's spreading rapidly in Turkey. It's spreading rapidly in Iran. I mean, it is the predominant religion of those areas, and they're going to enter into this negotiation. There's going to be a camaraderie between those nations that God is setting up. I mean, God's doing this. He's setting this up in his sovereignty because at this point in the tribulation, these God-mocking, Israel-mocking, land-mocking, because he promised Israel this land, nations, he's going to converge together. They're going to move down from the north, come down toward Israel, and that's where he's going to nail them all. He'll drop them like flies. And you'll notice as we come to chapter 39, and you, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog, prince of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. I will turn you around, drive you on, take you up from the remote parts of the north, and bring you against the mountains of Israel. Do you see what God's doing? He's setting them up. He's saying, I am the one that I am devising this plan. I'm going to grab you all from, and this is Russian territory. All of this language describes nations that are in the Russian area. He's going to bring them right down to the northern mountains of Israel. That's what he's predicting. And by the way, check any history book you want. Nothing like this has ever happened. Nothing like this has happened in history, which tells us either God's lying here or it's going to happen. And we believe it's going to happen with exact precision in the way that God is predicting it. I believe that the nations are going to come down against Israel. They're going to pay the price that God is predicting. Notice verse 3 of chapter 39. I will strike your bow from your left hand, dash down your arrows from your right hand. God will have, by his own judgments, weakened Russia so that she can't even use the weapon she has that she's bringing to attack Israel with. I mean, that's the language here. She's coming down with her allied nations against Israel. God said, before they even get there, I'm going to weaken them so they don't even have their weapons. Dr. Wolverd makes an interesting observation again regarding bows and arrows, and he says, usually you consider that to be primitive weaponry, but actually they did play a part of warfare, and they were used extensively in Vietnam. And also, as we brought out, the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period is going to just demolish modern-day life as we know it. Modern-day weaponry will be gone. So if you're literally going to travel after 3.5 years into the tribulation period, you're probably going to have to go by foot or horse. And literally, you're not going to be able to get weapon supplies. You're not going to be able to get in a plane and drive down a runway and fly somewhere because God blew the runway to bits in the first part of the tribulation. I mean, there are no flat roads. There's just total chaos in the world of what's described in the first 3.5 years. And apparently, verses 4 and 5 tell us, you will fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your troops and the peoples who are with you. I will give you as food to every kind of predatory bird and beast of the field. You will fall on the open field, for it is I who've spoken, declares the Lord. Apparently, by the time they reach the mountain areas of Israel, in northern Israel, God is going to have them die. Just going to pronounce a death sentence on them. Kind of like he did the Assyrian army the night they came up before Israel. God just dropped them all dead during the night. And ultimately, they become food for birds and animals that literally are plucking the flesh, as it were, off of the dead bodies. So just think about this imagery for a moment. Russia, this powerful iron nation that has mocked God. Here's the end. They're lying dead, a bunch of bodies in mountains north of Israel, being eaten by beasts and birds. That's what God says I'm going to do to her. And I'm going to bring her up, and he describes it. I mean, you have to believe these chapters are chapters he wants us to know. He obviously wants us communicating this truth because ultimately he's going to pour out these things. Now, we'll pick it up here. Our time is gone. We'll conclude this, Lord willing, next Sunday as we see the finale of all of this. Any comments or questions? All right. Thanks so much for coming.